Thank you, Dan. That was awesome. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, everyone. Yeah, come on and take a seat. I just want to welcome you all. Thank you all for coming this morning. I know that Judy really appreciates the support and you all coming. And so thank you. Let me open in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much that pain and grief is not something that you're unfamiliar with. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our comforter, that you are our peace in times of trouble. And I pray, Lord, today that as we remember Junior and we remember his life, Lord, that you would be the comforter today in this place. We thank you, Lord, that this life is full of troubles is not all there is, but there is a hope. An eternal hope. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time together now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing together, and we decided to sing How Great Thou Art, just to focus on who God is at this time. And so if you want to join us, the words will be on the screen. And should we stand and sing together? Are you ready, Dan? He's ready. Okay. Oscar Ruff, we know him as Junior. He was born on February 29th, 1964, and he passed away on February the 7th, 2022. He was born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri, and he entered into eternity with his mother, Ruth Ann Bailey Ruff, and his brother, J.P. Good, and sister, Elizabeth Good. Oscar Jr. was a member of Grace Point Baptist Church for 7 years, and he leaves behind his wife Judy, his stepdaughter Clarissa Ann Pickens Brown, her husband Keon Brown, grandson Delron, new grandson Cassidy, and his brother Tony Alonzo Jenkins, Alonzo Jenkins, and a host of cousins, nieces, nephews, and friends. And Judy wanted me to mention the special friends of Wayne Holland and Lawrence Griffin and John A. Good and their Grace Point family. I want to give an opportunity now for anyone that has a memory, a thought that they wanted to share of Junior and time that they spent with him. And it's just an open time. If you want to come and share, we'll grab the microphone. And but it's up to you what you would like to share. So I want to give that time now to do that. Well, thank you so much for coming again. And I know Judy is appreciative. You know, Junior is not with us anymore, but he is still living. He is still living. And here's how I know that. There was a number of years ago, and Judy, I don't know if you remember, but we were visiting your neighborhood with a mission team, and we were just up and down the street praying for people, and that was always a fun time because Judy would call neighbors out and say, "Come on, you need prayer, come on out." And we'd have lots of great prayer with people and share the gospel. And then Junior was in the driveway, and as you know, at the time when he was hard of hearing, and we prayed for his hearing, and he could hear. He was healed, and we were able to have a conversation with him, where we shared the gospel with him. And we told him about the love of Jesus and what Jesus had done for him. And we prayed together. And it was in that moment that I believe that he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But it was the hearing was for a brief moment that he was restored. And it was incredible because we saw an instant healing. But then a few weeks later, he couldn't hear again. And it was so interesting. Sorry? Selective hearing. He chose what he wanted to hear. But, you know, we know he struggled with health issues. We know he struggled with a lot of issues especially in the last few years, and he was in a lot of pain. If you ever tried to hold his hand and shake his hand, he had a lot of pain. But he was always had a ready smile. He was always ready to smile and to spread some love and some joy. And I believe that he knew the Lord. I believe that he knew Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And because of some of his struggles, a lot of people rejected him. A lot of people ignored him. Didn't understand him. If you go to a shopping center or something, people wouldn't know how to react to him. And it was challenging. And I believe that God looks kindly on people that the world rejects. He looks kindly on the people that the world has said, you can't contribute. You're missing some faculties, the lame, the sick. And I believe God has a special place for those people. And I believe God loves Junior. And I believe, though, that how we treat them is remembered. Something the Lord showed me years ago. When we get to heaven, those people are going to have perfect faculties. They're going to be able to speak clearly. They're going to be able to hear clearly. They're going to have no pain. And they're going to remember and either thank us for how we treated them, if we treated them with respect and love, or they're going to remember what we did when we didn't treat them so well. I don't believe that heaven is full of regrets, but I think we want to learn to treat people well. But Junior is going to receive a new body. He's going to receive a new body like we're all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he's going to be able to, with all of us, run and praise Jesus and live for eternity. In the book of Revelation, we read about our eternal home. And Revelation 21 and verse 1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" That scripture verse, that portion of scripture, is what we hold on to. We believe, we look forward to the day of no more crying, no more pain, no more sickness, and no more death. God sets up his new Jerusalem, and we get to live with him forever. It was never God's design for there to be death. It was never God's original plan that we would suffer death. But as a result of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, we all suffer death. If death is, and unless Jesus comes today, which he could do, we'll all face death. All of us have to go through that. But when Jesus comes again, when the new Jerusalem is set up, death will be no more. Junior had many troubles in this world. He battled. And none of us is perfect. None of us are without troubles. None of us make perfect decisions every day. But we realize, and Junior realized, that this world was not his home. He wasn't comfortable in this world. He wasn't comfortable in this world, but this world was not his home. We were just passing through. We're passing through this world. And the days that we have in this world are brief, and the Bible says sometimes full of trouble, but they're temporary. God doesn't want us to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of death, because it's a reality that we all face. But in order to not be afraid of death, we need to know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And then we don't have to have any fear of death. we can prepare for it. It doesn't matter how clever you are, how wealthy you are. You could be the greatest politician in all the world. We're all going to face death, everybody, eventually. You know, sometime in the late 1800s, there was a Swedish chemist by the name of Alfred. And Alfred woke up one morning and he read a obituary in the newspaper. And it was his obituary. And the newspaper columnist described Alfred as the inventor of dynamite who died yesterday. He devised a way for more people to be killed in a war than ever before, and he died a very rich man. Now, obviously, it wasn't his obituary. The newspaper columnist or the writer had got it mixed up between Alfred's brother. Alfred's brother had passed away. But when he read that, he said, I don't want that to be my obituary. And so from that day, he determined to make a difference. He determined to change things. And he began what we know today as the Nobel Peace Prize. It was Alfred Nobel. And he began the Nobel Peace Prize recognizing people that do amazing work for the furtherance of peace and writers and different scientists in the world. And he said, in his life, he said, every man ought to have a chance to correct his epitaph in midstream and write a new one. And he had that opportunity to write a new one. And those of us that know Jesus Christ as Lord, we write a new one. You get to write a new epitaph, a new obituary. When Jesus came as a baby 2,000 years ago, he was God. He is God. And he lived a perfect life. He died for our sins. And he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. And because Jesus overcame sin, he overcame death, we have that promise that we too, one day, when we die, we will live. We will live for eternity with him. You know, we don't realize how short life is, how temporary life is. I have a funny, it's a funny story, but it's a serious story. Do you remember your neighbor, Eugene? And when you lived on Woodlawn? And yeah. And Eugene passed away probably 5 years ago, somewhere around there. And so I was preaching at his funeral, and I was on this topic about how short life is and how any one of us don't have the guarantee of tomorrow. And I don't know if you remember, but when we were in that funeral home, there was a glass window at the back. So everyone was facing me. So pretend that all of that wall is a glass window. And there was a man about to cross the road. And I could see it, but nobody else could see it. Yeah, nobody else saw it. And this man crossed the road and got run over. He got hit by a car. And he flew over the car, and he landed in the street. And yeah, I am preaching, so I'm trying to focus on what's going on. But I'm preaching on how short life is. None of us know that tonight we're going to be alive. Anything could happen today. Yes. Well, fortunately, the story is that man didn't die. He was probably drunk, and he bounced off the road, and he was okay. But it was just a clear picture. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And only those that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have that certainty that we're going to spend eternity in heaven. Because every one of us die one day, and every one of us is going to spend an eternity somewhere, either heaven or hell. There's only two options, and they're both very real places. I often say this, you know, that we make millions and millions of decisions every day. Every day, but in our lifetime, we make millions of decisions. This morning, you made many decisions to get here. There's only one decision that you make that makes a difference 100 years from now. And that's whether you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, for Junior. We thank you for his life, the joy that he brought. And we thank you, Lord, that He knew you, and you knew him. Lord, we acknowledge that this reality of death separates us for a season. It's not forever. Even though the grief is real, we also know it's temporary. And I pray, Lord, for comfort for Judy, for the whole family, Lord. You'd bring them comfort and peace. Lord, give us the faith to look to the future with confidence, with courage, knowing that you've gone before us, preparing a way for us. Help us, Lord, to live lives that bring you honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.